Good afternoon. Welcome to this news conference sponsored by the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. You'll be hearing from three speakers today. Before we introduce them as a group and then individually, I want to invite the operator on the line to explain how the Q&A period will work.
During the question and answer session, you may ask a question by pressing star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you would like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star, then two. Again, it's star, then one to ask a question.
Thank you. We will have the operator back on the line at the start of the Q&A period to repeat those instructions about how members of the news media can pose questions. As I mentioned, you will be hearing from three speakers today. Our first speaker is Stephen Smith, Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, followed by Mark Cooper, Senior Fellow for Economic Analysis at the Institute for Energy and the Environment at the Vermont Law School, and Arnie Gunnarsson, Nuclear Engineer and Energy Advisor at Fairwinds Associates, Inc. Let's begin with our first speaker, Stephen Smith.
Well, good afternoon. Again, my name is Stephen Smith. I'm the Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. I'm delighted to be here today with economist Mark Cooper and nuclear engineer Arnie Gunnarsson, who you'll be hearing from shortly, and they serve as our expert witnesses in this case. For those of you who do not know, the nonprofit Southern Alliance for Clean Energy promotes clean energy choices that creates global warming solutions and ensures clean, safe, and healthy communities throughout the Southeast. Founded in 1985, SACE, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, is the only regional organization focused primarily on developing clean energy solutions throughout the Southeast. We're here today with a simple message for the Florida Public Service Commission and the citizens of Florida, and that message is, we told you so. SACE is a formal intervener in the pending applications by Florida Power and Light, FP&L, and Progress Energy to seek nuclear cost recovery of a combined amount of nearly $200 million. Mark Cooper and Arnie Gunnarsson are both expert witnesses and have submitted testimony in the Florida PSC last year in 2009 and again this year in 2010. In 2009, Cooper and Gunnarsson warned the Florida Public Service Commission that the conditions were emerging that justified that the state deny what was then a $269 million in cost recovery that comes right out of the pockets of utility ratepayers and customers. In their 2010 testimony, Cooper and Gunnarsson basically said, "We told you so." All of the factors they warned about in 2009 are now even worse. And in fact, it's fair to say that the prospects for building new nuclear reactors in Florida has never been worse. FP&L and Progress Energy are pushing for advanced billing recovery that would amount to nearly a half a billion dollars charged to ratepayers thus far if they get what they want. But this is for nuclear reactors that are not needed and will likely never be built. In this very difficult times in Florida, we really question why the PSC is allowing this to happen. The PSC hearings on this start next Tuesday. The staff recommendation is expected by the end of September, and the full commission will vote on a final decision by likely October 12th. Testifying on behalf of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, Cooper and Gunnarsson are both recommending that the PSC reject nearly $200 million combined utility rates, which could eventually add up to well over $40 per month for Progress customers and would be in addition to more than $250 million in cost recovery from both FP&L and Progress customers already authorized last year. It's clear that just because FP&L and Progress Energy want the money from Florida consumers, but that doesn't mean that these reactors will be built. It simply is not the case. There's nothing inevitable here. There are plenty of signs that the nuclear industry is getting cold feet about its new reactor plans. We've seen major public pullbacks from projects in Texas and Maryland. And even the head of FP&L recently acknowledged that construction of the planned new reactors that they were looking at in Florida is not certain. And that would be one thing if FP&L and Progress Energy were paying the bills for these four new reactors. But they aren't. Because of bad legislation passed several years ago in the Florida State Legislature, it is the Florida ratepayers and consumers that are on the hook. The bad news for the state utility customers is that Florida's nuclear cost recovery arrangement for new reactors and new reactor construction allow for hundreds of millions of dollars to be taken from electric consumers, even if the reactors fail to be constructed and never generate a single kilowatt of power. This is the fundamental flaw of this early cost recovery. And as the PSC keeps approving these requests, failing to do their job as providing an adequate prudency review, this will grow into the billions of dollars and have dramatic impacts on Florida rates for consumers. And so in closing, let me say this. It is unprecedented that a state public service commission is giving this level of early cost recovery for projects that are now over 10 years out. Both Progress and FPL have pushed their dates for these reactors beyond the 10-year mark, and there's no chance that these would be built before 2022-2023 timeframe. And so it's highly questionable they'll even be completed. We believe that the appropriate action here is for the Florida Public Service Commission to suspend this docket and stop granting any additional cost recovery that will further burden ratepayers in Florida. These plans can be evaluated in a couple of years when and if, and that's a big if, these proposals are relevant and when the utilities have a better understanding of what their legitimate needs are. By doing this, the PSC will protect Florida families and businesses while forcing the utilities to rethink their shaky plans. We at SACE have consistently argued that there are low-cost, low-risk resource alternatives available to these proposed highly risky nuclear reactors in Florida, such as energy efficiency. The energy efficiency saving level by Florida's largest utilities are appallingly low relative to other states, and it's time for more to be done there versus wasting billions of dollars on new reactors. So that concludes my opening remarks. I look forward to taking questions. Thank you.
Thank you. That was, again, Stephen Smith, Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. That takes us to our second speaker, Mark Cooper, Senior Fellow for Economic Analysis at the Institute for Energy and the Environment at the Vermont Law School.
Thanks a lot, and thank you all for joining us today. Stephen has really highlighted the central issue in this proceeding, which is this problem of early cost recovery, unprecedented in the nation today, and the tremendous importance of the commission exercising its oversight over these decisions. The way it plays out is there's a feasibility hearing, a long-term feasibility hearing, in which the commission has to make a judgment about whether this project is feasible and should continue to go forward. Last year, we presented evidence that suggested that, notwithstanding the certificate of need that had been issued a couple years earlier, the facts on the ground had changed so dramatically that the project is no longer feasible and the commission should stop allowing the cost recovery. Last year, the companies did not do a very good job of they didn't take it very seriously. They didn't do a lot of economic analysis. And the commission let them keep collecting. A year later, however, reality is really catching up with the utilities. They've done the economic analysis we've suggested. It is very, very troubling. It, in our opinion, does not support the continued plans to build these reactors. And, of course, as we now know, FPL has said, well, they haven't really made up their mind yet. Both utilities have pushed the online dates for these reactors out to 2021, 22, 23, which is exactly what we had suggested was about to happen in 2009. But the one thing the utilities haven't really faced up with is that they still want to keep collecting money from ratepayers. And that's a terrible mistake. With projects that are 10, 12 years out with massive uncertainties in the near term, it doesn't make any sense to keep spending money on these projects. There's time to wait to see how things are going to develop before you have to begin dipping into ratepayer pockets. Well, what are the factors that changed in 2009? I presented evidence on a host of key factors that had rendered the reactors uneconomic and unnecessary. Declining natural gas costs, declining estimates of carbon prices, declining demand due to the economic slowdown, reduced need for non-renewable generation due to increased energy efficiency, fast rising projections of nuclear construction costs, an immense amount of uncertainty in the technological, market, economic, and financial marketplace. There's all kinds of risks and uncertainties that these kinds of projects with their tremendous front-end and capital costs really expose the investor to. Of course, in this case, the only person at risk here is the ratepayer. All of the risk has been shifted with early cost recovery to ratepayers. The utilities are not at risk for anything. They have planning to collect every penny and had every penny authorized to collect from the ratepayer. So the bottom line is that with another year of experience, all of those factors have continued to develop in a direction that makes it less and less likely that the plant reactors will be needed, less likely that their costs will be economic, and therefore less likely that they will ever get built. But the utilities want to spend the money to stand in line at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and it's a line that is going nowhere. There's almost nobody left in the line as other people have canceled their projects, suspended their projects, put their projects on delay and hold. The events that have affected the reactors in Florida mirror the events across the country. The Public Utility Commission denied both Progress and FPNL very large rate increases. And when that happened, the investor rating services put these utilities on watch, downgraded them, et cetera. And let me be clear about those rate proceedings. The Public Service Commission has done the right thing. It's the utilities who are doing the wrong thing by pushing plants that are uneconomic and unnecessary, which forces the rating agencies to reduce their ratings, increasing the cost of capital for the utilities. It's the utilities, by insisting on these uneconomic projects, that are causing the problem. So we're now down to a situation in which we're on this massive lead time. We have uncertainty from FPNL. And the one thing that really needs to stop is the collection of funds in advance from ratepayers. The president of FPNL has admitted he's not sure he wants to build it. 2 years ago, he said he could bring it online within 7 years, which means he doesn't have to begin the process for another 5 years. He shouldn't be collecting money from ratepayers for that 5 years. Progress Energy signed a contract which put it in a bind, but it makes more sense to break that contract, get out of line, and wait to see whether these plants will ever be needed than keep on spending. And let's be clear. The problems that have afflicted the reactors in Florida have occurred across the nation. They're not limited to Florida. All the projects that are still being pursued, and that number is dwindling rapidly, are suffering similar difficulties. Cost increases, uncertainty at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission as the designs have not been finalized, and down ratings from the financial institutions. It is time for the industry to put these projects on hold, to step back, stop trying to make ratepayers and taxpayers put up money for uneconomic, unnecessary reactors. And Florida is really sort of the focal point of the current effort to make public utility commissions take the consumer interest into account. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Again, that was Mark Cooper, Senior Fellow for Economic Analysis at the Institute for Energy and the Environment at Vermont Law School. Let's proceed to our third and final speaker, making brief opening comments, Arne Gunderson, Nuclear Engineer and Energy Advisor at Fairwinds Associates.
Hi, and good afternoon. This is Arne Gunderson. I was retained by FACE in 2009 to look at the Levy County units as well as Turkey Point. And it was obvious to me back then that all four units couldn't be completed on time or within the budget that the company suggested. I said under oath that it would take at least five more years. I said it would take at least $5 billion more. And I concluded last year that it made no sense to build them, and the best thing would be to shut down the the entire process in 2009. Progress and Florida Power and Light disagreed. In one of their rebuttal testimonies, they suggested that the Levy County unit had to be, and this is a direct quote, had to be approached with a sense of urgency. They then went on and said that my suggestion to approach it to provide the most likely schedule was to introduce an excuse. So, the five-year delay last year was my attempt to introduce an excuse, whereas their approach was to go at the projects with a sense of urgency. The problem, though, is that in 2010, Progress's testimony says that they were actually doing what I recommended at the end of 2009. They weren't approaching the Levy County project with a sense of urgency, but in fact, they were trying to renegotiate contracts and putting on the brakes. So while they were telling the Public Service Board that the project needed to be attacked with a, quote, sense of urgency, in fact, they had both feet on the brake pedal trying to slow the projects down. So based on their testimony to approach the project with a sense of urgency, the Public Service Commission allowed them to move forward. But in fact, at the same time they were being allowed to move forward, they were making a dramatic course correction to add 5 years to the project and $5 billion to the cost. So now we're in 2010, and the reactor design that they've chosen still has licensing problems. The AP1000 shield building has caused numerous delays, and I've also brought up concerns about the containment building that are available online. Personally, I've spoken to the Advisory Committee on Reactor Safeguards about concerns with the containment building that are too lengthy to get into this discussion, but there are serious licensing problems yet to be faced with the AP1000. So now Progress in Florida Power and Light are doing what was obvious to Mark and I back in 2009, and that is they've added years to the delay and billions to the cost. But the other thing we suggested in 2009, which they haven't done, is stop work. In my opinion, the best and the least cost option is to stop these projects now. If Florida needs the power in 2022, 2023, Florida Power and Light has said they could build it in 5 years and they could license it in two or three. So they only need 7 or 8 years to fire this project up and get it done. But yet we're talking 12 or 13 years. So there's 5 years here where Floridians are being asked to absorb costs for a project that may never be needed. Florida Power and Light and Progress are saying that they need to keep spending money to preserve the option. And really, that's a false choice. This isn't the home shopping network where you have to buy now or you'll lose your signed original. Westinghouse does not have a limited number of nuclear reactors to sell. And if they were to stop work, all of the engineering they've done would apply if they needed to start up. All of their environmental studies would apply if they needed to start up. All of their geological work would apply. So those costs are not lost, but in fact, to pursue when you don't need the project for 12 or 13 years shows me that there's 5 years of cost that Floridians don't have to carry. If this were a normal for-profit business, the choice would be clear. The choice would be to stop these projects now. But it's not a normal for-profit business. As Dr. Cooper said, they're not playing with their own money. They're playing with Floridian ratepayers' money. And if a for-profit business were looking at this decision, they would conclude that the best thing to do would be to stop and then wait 5 years. And then come 2012, 2013, 2014, evaluate what the future might hold, and at that point, decide to build again. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, that was the opening statement of Arne Gunderson, nuclear engineer and energy advisor at Fairwinds Associates, Inc. That takes us now to the Q&A portion of the call. I want to invite the operator back on the line to explain once again how the Q&A period will work.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star, then 2 to remove yourself from the list. Please limit yourself to one question and a single follow-up. If you need to ask an additional question, please know that you may press star, then 1 to rejoin the queue.
Okay. While we are waiting for our first question, I want to emphasize that the Q&A period is for reporters only. You can find the new report information that is being released today, as well as including the related news release, on the web at www.cleanenergy.org. Again, that's www.cleanenergy.org. And after this news event is over, you can contact Elise Wolf at 703-276-3265 to be connected with any of the speakers you've heard from today. We want to make sure reporters on the line have a chance to pose their questions. So it looks like we don't have anything yet. Let's invite the operator back on the line to go through those instructions again.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star then 1 on your touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, you can press star then 2. Again, it's star then 1 to ask a question.
Okay, let's go to our first question now.
The first question comes from Kate Bradshaw of WMNF Radio Tampa. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thanks for taking my question. My question was about, I want to know if any of you had any of the latest information on the Citizens for Ratepayers Rights lawsuit filed in February of this year, if there's been an update on that. And I also wanted to know about possible, how can consumers legally follow this up, or were it to go through?
But this is Steve Smith. I'm not aware of the status of the lawsuit. Clearly consumers have the right and should communicate their concerns to first to the Public Service Commission, because that's the first point of decision making, and they can certainly communicate with their commissioners. And then the other fundamental flaw in this is that the state legislature has passed this this legislation that allows this early cost recovery, because that it's not that way in every state in the United States, and it's actually somewhat unorthodox that this is happening. So my sense is that citizens should be engaged in the process and should first communicate with the commissioners about their dislike of being charged money by the big power companies for these very risky projects. And the hearings start, next week, and you can write comments all the way up until October 12th.
Got it. And if there are no other questions, I have another question.
Sure, you can go ahead.
Related. Okay. I've just pulled up a press release here from April 20th from Progress Energy, basically it indicates that the nuclear cost recovery, what consumers see on their bills will be less than expected. And I apologize if that's too vague and if you're not familiar with that, but I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Well, this is Mark Cooper. It's less than expected because they understand that it's too much. And so what Progress did was they got the commission to authorize cost recovery, and then they deferred it. They spread it out. But they intend to collect every penny. And so that part of it is simply a question of the timing of the recovery. They've recognized the political pain that increasing consumers' rates in a recession is. They intend to recover the cost. They've also spread out the schedule. So essentially what they're doing is they're going to spread out the licensing and construction over 12 years instead of 7 or 8. None of that, though, goes to the fundamental proposition that the costs just shouldn't be recovered. They shouldn't be collecting anything today. The Public Service Commission shouldn't be approving these. So what they're doing here is trying to make the poison a little more palatable, but the underlying economics are still there and can't be changed.
Yeah, and this is Steve Smith. I just want to reinforce what Mark said. I mean, basically last year, Progress got an unprecedented amount of money approved by the commission. I think it was over $400 million. And they basically are saying that, okay, well, we're just not going to take all that from you at once. We're going to take it from you, but and they're acting like they're doing ratepayers a favor. But the reality is, the very fundamental problem with what's going on is that they are claiming to be building reactors that may never be built, and they're charging ratepayers, and they're putting all the risk onto the ratepayers, and they really have virtually no skin in the game. There's really no loss to them at all. And so, therefore, they're not going through the normal due diligence of whether this is a good decision because they have no real risk in the game at all here. And so, you know, to act like somehow or another they're doing ratepayers a favor because instead of collecting the $400 million they got approved last year, they've deferred that over a few more years, and now they're back at the trough again asking for another $150, $160 million. They're not doing ratepayers any favor. This is a gravy train for utility big power companies at the expense of the ratepayers for a project that is so highly risky.
This is Mark Cooper again. Let me pick up on another point that Steve made, because it's quite evident in Florida. Not only do they collect money for the wrong projects at the wrong time, but becoming committed to these projects and devoting utility attention on these projects also tends to crowd out the other alternatives. So in order to make as much room as possible for these very large generators, they resist efficiency. They push off other alternatives like natural gas development, and the price of natural gas has tumbled and collapsed, and many people think it's not going to jump up again at any time soon. And so not only do they collect this money, but that the decision to build this reactor crowds out all the other alternatives that would have kept the lights on, met consumers' needs at lower cost. And so you've got both sides of this problem working, and the utilities have been very, very bad on efficiency, resisting efficiency. When your Progress Energy has excess capacity, reserve margins way beyond what the statute requires, pushed out for a decade or more, and so they're sort of resisting the right things to do while they're sort of clinging to this project, which is the wrong thing to do.
Does that cover your question? So, okay, I wanted to go ahead and let the operator go through the instructions one more time on how people can answer or how people can pose their questions.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, you can press star then two. Again, it is star then one to ask a question.
And again, while we're waiting to see if reporters have any additional questions, we want to stress that you can find the report and related news release or the information being released today at www.cleanenergy.org. That's also where a streaming audio replay of this news event will be available as of 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today. Operator, do we have any additional questions?
Not at this time.
Okay. We know some reporters may want to take their questions offline. I know we've had some requests for individual interviews. So at this point, we'll go back through the list of speakers that you heard from and give them a chance to offer their closing thoughts for today. First was Stephen Smith, Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy.
Well, again, everybody's struggling in these very difficult times, and particularly in Florida, and we feel that the big power companies should not be gaming and manipulating their customer base on these risky, now greatly deferred and highly questionable projects that are underway. So our bottom line is that the commission should suspend granting any additional funds for quote-unquote early cost recovery for these projects, and that at some point in the future, if we need to re-engage these questions, let's do it when we have better clarity and understanding of what the true needs are in Florida. But clearly the dynamics have changed. Our experts, I think in hindsight, it's as if they had a crystal ball. They were very clear in projecting forward what some of these risks were, and many, if not all of them, have played out as predicted, and so we think the appropriate action here is to disengage the utilities from mining dollars out of ratepayers' pockets and prevent these projects from going forward at the expense of the ratepayers. And if the utilities want to pursue them, they need to pursue them, you know, with shareholders and others putting some skin in the game and not just putting all the risk on the back of ratepayers who are already suffering from the difficult economic times. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Cooper, do you have any closing thoughts? He's Senior Fellow for Economic Analysis at the Institute for Energy and in the Environment at the Vermont Law School.
Well, Steve Smith has summarized the major impact. I would add one observation that what has developed in Florida is really a good experiment for people to understand the dangers of early cost recovery, of putting ratepayers' money as a risk. You end up wasting people's money. I think it's a really good object lesson, even for the federal government, where there's a big push to get loan guarantees, which puts taxpayers' money at risk. Nuclear reactors have failed the market test. They cannot be funded in the marketplace. The rating agencies are downgrading utilities that are pushing these projects. And so the lesson here is that policymakers should not substitute their judgment for the judgment of the capital markets. These schemes which shift the risks to taxpayers and ratepayers end up costing the people a great deal of money, wasting the public's money. And Florida is a perfect example of the trouble you can get in when you really ignore the strong signals coming from the marketplace.
Thank you. That was Mark Cooper. Arnie Gunderson, nuclear engineer and energy advisor at Fairwinds Associates, do you have any closing thoughts for today?
Yeah, just one. Thank you. The cost for these units, while it has increased, in my mind, is going to go up, and because there's just not enough engineering and experience to lock in a fixed amount. none of the vendors who are building these plants is willing to put any of their skin in the game, to use a previous comment. So the people building it won't take the risk. The people buying it, Florida Power and Light and Progress, won't take the risk. And so, therefore, the way the system is set up in Florida is that the risk falls onto the ratepayers. I think it says something when the builders won't take a risk and lock in the price, and the people buying it won't either. And it's unfortunate that the way the laws are written in Florida is that then that risk falls onto the ratepayers. Thank you.
Thank you again. That was Arne Gunderson. We want to make sure you know where to get more information about today's news conference. You can contact Elise Wolf at 703-276-3265 to be connected with any of the speakers you have heard from today. As I said before, you can find the information, a related news release, on the web at www.cleanenergy.org. That's where a streaming audio replay of this news event will be available as of 6 p.m. Eastern Time today. Again, you've been listening to a news conference sponsored by the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Thank you for joining us. That concludes today's news event.